So this morning, I feel very excited about our new series. Have you all got sight of one of these cards? Can you just wave it at me if you do? So we are going to be this term, thank you, people are very obedient, waving. We are this term going to be exploring together the book of Luke for the express purpose. Have I got a drink? Could someone find me a drink? For the express purpose, thank you, of getting to know Jesus better. Do I hear a hallelujah in the house? Okay, come on, getting to know Jesus better. That's what we're going to be doing this term. We're going to be looking at what he said, what he did, what he was like, why he said what he said, and why he did what he did. But not just to fill our heads with the knowledge, but in order that we become more like him. And we do what he did. So we learn how Jesus prayed and why he prayed, so that we can pray like Jesus did. We want to understand why and how Jesus healed people, so that we can do the same. And that's the journey that we're going to go on. So today we are looking at knowing our identity, our place in the family. Because you know what? There are certain key fundamentals that we have to understand. Or we'll look at Jesus and we'll just say, well, that was Jesus. He was the Son of God. Of course he healed people. He was the Son of God. Of course he knew how to pray to his Father. But you know what, guys? There are fundamental things about Jesus' identity and who he was, and our identity and who we are, that are intrinsically linked together. And unless we understand who Jesus was and is, and who therefore we are, who we're called to be, we'll just abdicate and say, yeah, but that was Jesus. That was just Jesus. No. We're called to do what he did. And I'm going to show you today one of the key things that he did on this earth was to train his disciples to do what he did. So, identity. Oh, I'm going to go back one. Here we are. Family identity. That's my boy, okay? I have two children. Millie's 12, she's in year 8. This is Daniel, and he's 8. He doesn't look 8 there. He looks about 2 there, okay? But you know what? I don't know about you and your family, but we love in our family, and my kids love, talking about the stories of when they were little. Anyone else's family like doing that, okay? Stories like when Millie, she was about 18 months old, she pooed in the bath right on top of a little yellow duck that was swimming underneath her bottom, and it came out brown on the other side. She's going to kill me. Is this being recorded? Great. Okay. And Daniel, the time we were in Sutton Park and he thought the rabbit droppings were raisins. That was my fault, okay? Heidi's not let me ever forget that one. And actually, while we were away in the holiday with the Whittles, there's a couple of lunch times we kind of just spent, because they've got 5 kids, talking about stories. And James is like, tell my story. Tell about me. Because you know what? There's something in here which says, I need to know my identity. I need to know the stories. And we had great fun hearing about James Whittle and even Ben Whittle when they were little and things that they did. We need to know from a young age our identity. And as a child, our identity is intrinsically linked to our family, our parents, our siblings, our grandparents, our family members. They give us, or they should give us, it doesn't always happen, our security, our self-belief, an understanding of our culture, our ethnic background, our social background, our spiritual background. We get that when we're little from our family. And it's really important. It's really important. It starts to shape our identity, who we are. Then we get a little bit older and we kind of hit school. And as a parent, if you've let go of your child for the first time to school or nursery, it's a big deal. We realize as a child that there is a world beyond our family. Our friends, these guys, they become increasingly important to us and influential in our lives, as does the society that we live in. There are subtle messages all the time coming through the telly, coming through our friends, coming through school, about what we should be like, what we should look like, what we should find our fulfillment in. And these social messages and these friendship messages can often conflict with our personal family-influenced identity that we had growing up, resulting in young people often feeling confused about who they really are. And you see it in our young people. You look around Warsaw, you see it in our young people. Then there's this social media. Okay? You know, we are increasingly living life through a camera and a device. And it's amazing how the screen has taken over. You know, we show the world the bits of our life that look good. We see the bits of other people's lives that they want to show us. And we live in this kind of pseudo world of image, impression. That's what we want others to think our life is like. And self-promotion. Social media is great in lots of ways, guys, but when it kind of takes over like that, and so it's not surprising that people, as they get older, there is a real confusion over who we really are. Who are we really? Are we the social media image of ourselves? Are we the family image of ourselves? The society image of ourselves? Or is there something else that we are? You know what? As Christians, we have an identity. Not a social media identity. We have a real, deep core of our being, family identity. We are these things. We are loved unconditionally by a father. And that's going to be important for us this morning. We're going to keep coming back to that. We are a son or daughter of the King. We are co-heirs with Jesus. We are forgiven. Totally forgiven. We're brought back into the family. We're a new creation. There are so many more things I could have added to that list. But when you read your Bible, when you listen to what Jesus said, we have an identity. Solid, secure, as a child of God. And this morning, as we start a new series together, I want to just point us to a couple of scriptures about how Jesus knew his identity and the importance of that, the importance of Jesus knowing who he was, and for us and for his disciples, the importance of that and knowing that we have a call on our lives, just like Jesus did. So would you turn with me in your Bibles or on those media devices that you have to the book of Luke? And I just want you to turn to Luke 1. Verse 29. This is this amazing moment when Gabriel, the angel, appears to Mary, this young kid, and says something. So from verse 29, Mary was greatly troubled at the words and wondered what kind of greeting it might be. Okay, so when an angel appears to you and says some stuff about being highly favored, be worried. That's what Mary. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son. You are to name him Jesus." And listen to this. "He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High." And then it goes on to verse 35. In 34, Mary says, "How will this be since I'm a virgin? How can this happen?" The angel says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you and overshadow you. So the Holy One, Jesus, will be born and will be called the Son of God." Twice, within just a few verses, Gabriel says, it's God's son. It's not Joseph's. It's God's son. God's son. Identity. Identity. You know, Jesus found his identity. He knew who he was. And I'm speculating here. This isn't in the Bible. I'm speculating. But just like Heidi and I have told Daniel and Millie about the stories of their youth, the stories growing up when they were little, I can only imagine that Mary and Joseph did the same with Jesus. The story of when the angel came and appeared and told me, Jesus, that you were going to be born and that you were God's son. The story of when the angel appeared to Joseph and we had to flee to Egypt. The story of when the shepherds came and they knelt before you because angels had appeared to them. The story of the wise men. The story of when Simeon in the temple, 40 days after Jesus was born, and they took him to the temple, as was the custom. And Simeon, this old guy who had been waiting for God's promised one, sees Jesus and says, "Lord, Lord, you promised that before I died, I would see your Messiah. And today, that's happened." Then Anna, the prophetess, joins him and just gives glory to God. The stories of Jesus' youth. And why do I say that? Well, I say that because by the age of 12 years old, and you'll know this story, Jesus and his family went to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover meal. And they were there, they celebrated it, and then they left with the crowds. And they were obviously there with other friends and family because they thought Jesus was with someone else. And then they discovered that he was missing. Now, again, as a parent, could you imagine? I don't know about you if you've ever lost your child, all right? Even for a moment, even that moment in the shop when you turn around and they're not there. Jesus was missing for 3 days. And when they found Jesus in Luke chapter 2, Jesus said these words, "Didn't you know I had to be about my Father's business?" Or, "I was in my Father's house." Didn't you know that's where I'd be? He was 12 years old. Now, I have a 12-year-old, okay? And she ain't really sure yet what she wants to be when she grows up, okay? We've gone from being a dancer to a something to do with Disney, princess, you know, we've had the whole lot, okay? She doesn't. Jesus, aged 12. Knew he was in his Father's house. He was about his Father's business. He knew his identity. He knew who he was. And then, for me, one of the most significant moments in Jesus' life, would you just turn to Luke chapter 3 with me. Honestly, by the end of this series, you will know Luke inside out and you will be so much better for it. I am already. I've loved, just as I've been preparing things over the summer, just loved looking in Luke. Luke chapter 3, verse 21. This is the moment 18 years later. Jesus, the last time we saw Jesus, he was in the temple, age 12. 18 years later, age 30, he begins his ministry and he appears. He appears. And in verse 21 of Luke 3, it says this: "When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove." And listen to this. This is the bit. This is the identity bit. "And a voice came from heaven. You are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." Wow. Imagine being there at that moment and hearing that voice and going, wow. But imagine being Jesus and hearing that voice. "You're my son. I love you. With you, I'm well pleased." Can I say, one of the things that God kind of revealed to me as I've gone through this over the last couple of weeks is this. If I'd been God, and I'm not, in fact, nowhere near, I might have said that to my son on the cross after he'd done those things for 3 years, after he'd taught the disciples, after he'd healed people, after he'd gone through the hell of the cross. God didn't say that at the end. He said that at the beginning. Jesus knew he was loved by his Father. And it wasn't about performance. It wasn't about, I'm going to love you because you've done this. Because you're prepared to go to the cross. I love you because you're my son. And I'm well pleased. Guys, we need to hear that sound this morning. Hear the sound that God is pleased with us. Hear that sound that God loves us. Throughout the book of Luke, we see Jesus doing some things. These are things that we're going to unpick over the next few weeks together. It's not all of them. It's just some of the things that I kind of have picked out. So Jesus knew his identity, and out of his identity, out of that knowledge of who he was, he did these things a lot. Trained his disciples to do what he did. This wasn't all about Jesus. It is about Jesus. It is all about him. But actually, his ministry was about training others as well. Training others to do what he did. It was also about preaching good news about the kingdom, telling people about his dad and the family business. To anyone who'd listen, he preached good news. He ushered in the kingdom. He performed miracles, signs, and wonders to show a couple of things. To show that this was new, this was a kingdom way, and to show who he was. Part of what he did was he took people on a journey of being the carpenter's lad. That's what they thought when he first appeared. Well, this is Jesus, the carpenter's lad. To Peter saying, you're the Messiah. You're God's chosen one. And what was the outworking of those top three things? Well, some of the outworking was fulfillment of Scripture. Fulfillment of the prophecy. As Jesus taught, as Jesus appeared, as he walked, as he healed. The second thing was God's kingdom was being established on the earth and darkness. Satan's kingdom was pushed back. People were blessed, they were loved, they were healed, they were set free. And his disciples were beginning to understand who he was. And they started doing what Jesus did. So that was Jesus, secure in his identity as the Son of the living God. What about you and me? What about us? Well, when you and I are secure in our identity, in who we really are, just like Jesus was, we behave differently. We behave differently. When you believe you are a son, you behave like a son or a daughter of the King, rather than an orphan or a slave, seeking acceptance, seeking a place, like so many in society are. We are children of God, sons and daughters. Before we were Christians, before we came back into God's family with God as our Father, we were fatherless. We were orphans, slaves to sin. Many of Paul's letters, he describes this slave to sin, to the Romans, to the church in Philippi and others. He reminds them that they were once subject, like we were, to a yoke of slavery. But by God's grace, we've been set free. To live how? To live as sons and daughters. Free to choose not to sin. Free to work out what living for a new master looks like. The things he's planned for us to do. Not as a slave, but as a son and a daughter. You know, when we fully grasp, not just up here, not just head knowledge of who we are, but fully grasp here who we are, it changes everything. Changes everything. When you understand in the core of your being that you are a son and a daughter of the living God, that he loves you with an absolute passion that goes beyond anything you can dream of or imagine, even on your worst day. Even when you're doing that thing again and again, do you feel let God down? When you mess up again and again, he loves you with an absolute passion. Passion. And when you get that, not just here, not just when it goes in here and kind of sits there somewhere, but when you get it here, I'm a son. I have a father who is so passionate about me that he gave the best of heaven for me. I'm a daughter. It changes everything. It's not a conditional love. This world gives conditional love. God's love isn't conditional. It doesn't say, I love you if. God doesn't say that. It's not a conditional love that says, I love you, dot, dot, dot. It's unconditional. It's unconditional. I love you because I'm your dad. I'm your father. You're my child. I created you. It's not conditional that says, I love you more if. If you were more like me. No, he loves you fully and completely. Just as you are. Just think about that for a moment. Do you feel loved? Right now, do you feel loved by a father who is so passionate about you, you just couldn't imagine it? Just think about that for a moment. Does he want you to grow in maturity? Yes, he does. Does he want you to do the good works that he's planned for you to do? Absolutely. Does he want you to love people with a passion? Just like he does. But we choose to grow into maturity, not so that he loves us, but because we love him. And we want to share his love with others. We do the good works he's planned for us to do, not so that he loves us more, but because we love him and we want to show that love to others. You know, Jesus knew his identity. He knew who he was, and he knew that the Father loved him. And guys, If you don't know that, you need to know that. Because I'll tell you something, if we get just a little bit how much God loves us, it changes everything. Just like Jesus did, when Jesus went to the prostitute and accepted her, the leper, and put his arms around him, the tax collector, and befriended him. When we know who our dad is and how much we are loved, we are able to go to the lost and the broken, the hurting and the marginalized, our friend, our work colleague, the stranger on the street, knowing that if they reject us, if they turn round to us and say, Alpha Course, no way, come to church with you, not me, get prayer off you, no thanks. Then that rejection, which at one time might have cut us to the very core of who we are, which would have previously reinforced that slave mentality, that orphanhood, when we know who our dad is and how much he loves us, it changes everything. It might still hurt when our mate, who we've been praying for ages, says no. But it doesn't rob us in the same way. It can still hurt, but we have a new response. From a place of being loved and accepted by our Father, whatever happens, man's rejection doesn't affect God's love for us. You know, we don't need man's approval or affirmation. Just listen to that. Because so much of the world does. We already have the Father's. We already have his love and affirmation. In fact, you know what? If those things happen to you when you invite someone an Alpha Course or offer to pray with someone, if someone laughs at you, listen to this from Matthew 5. Jesus says, blessed are you. Blessed are you when people insult you, when they persecute you, when they falsely say all kinds of things about you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward. If you know who you are in Christ, guess what? You are able to take up your cross daily, deny yourself, and follow him. So, guys, what does it mean? What does it really mean to know that you are loved unconditionally? Well, it means that we don't respond in a way that we might have done, as a slave or an orphan. Do we stop doing that all the time? No. In fact, a significant part, and I can totally hold my hands up here and say this is me, a significant part of our Christian journey is allowing the Holy Spirit to help us recognize when we are responding out of the old nature, the old hurt, the old pain, the old rejection, and begin to substitute that for our new sonship response. And it's a lifelong journey into maturity as a Christian, to close the gap between someone saying something harsh to us and we respond out of our natural closing the gap between that natural response, the way we would have responded, to our godly response, our sonship response, and closing the gap in how we respond. Because lots of us, we respond instantly out of that, rejection, hurt. And then suddenly we think, no, I'm not that. I'm a son. I'm a daughter of the King of Kings. So why is all this important? Because people respond out of their identity, the identity that we live with. If we believe at our very core that we are God's child, that we are loved, accepted, precious just as we are, our relationship with him will be different. And our relationship with others will be different. You know what Jesus did with people? Jesus loved them into the kingdom. He loved them. And if we don't feel that love, that sonship, we can find it hard to respond out of that love. But as we do, as we look at the marginalized and the broken, the heart, the hurting and the lost, we will see people as Christ sees them. We will deal with people as Jesus dealt with them. I'm sure you all know the phrase, or lots of you will know, because it's been around this church a long time. Father's business. The Father's business. Vic has trained us over the years. God is a loving Father. The Father has a business, and his business is people. So as we move into this new phase as a church, where we begin to explore what it means to walk like Jesus walked, to train disciples to love people and do what he did, to preach the good news to all who listen, to pray for people, healing the sick, seeing signs and wonders. Guys, let's just remind ourselves again of who we are in God. Just like Jesus did. And then we will be able to step out confident in our identity as sons and daughters to fulfill all his plans for us and this church. Guys, will you stand with me, please? If you're able to. If you're not, don't worry. And would you just close your eyes and just allow the Holy Spirit just to keep working in you? As I was preparing this, I felt that there were three specific areas that people needed the Lord, their Father, to shift this morning. And these are them. And I want you to think really seriously. Actually, is this me? Is the Holy Spirit prompting me at this moment because he wants to deal with some stuff in me? So the first group that I felt the Lord just wanted to touch this morning and bring some healing to were those of you who experienced with your own father, your earthly father, or even someone else's earthly father, difficulty. And therefore, it's made it difficult for you to see God as a loving father who absolutely loves you with a passion and loves you unconditionally. There are no strings. We would like the Holy Spirit just to be invited in to show you the truth of who you are and how you are loved. The second group were those of you who don't see yourselves as being good enough or qualified enough to be seen as God's child. You keep messing up. How can God really love me? I keep messing up. I'm not worthy of his love. And the phrase that came to me was unlovable. I believe God just wants to speak the truth in about how much he loves you. And lastly, those of you who still carry a kind of, I need to work to get God's approval. Yeah, we're called to do good works. That's different. But actually, this is not about getting God's approval. We already have that. So I want us to pray. And if you relate to any one of those three areas, then as I pray, I'm just going to ask you to invite the Holy Spirit in to do the work that needs to be done, the work that God wants to do in you this morning. And it may go deeper. It may go deeper, and we are going to be praying over here afterwards. But I just want to kind of invite the Holy Spirit to begin this work now. So let's just pray, guys, and let's just open ourselves up. And it may be that none of those things relate to you, but you know people here who they do, then just be praying for them. So Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are the helper, the one who comes to us and reveals the Father's heart. So Lord, would you do that this morning? Where we have been hurt, wounded, where we've believed things that are not true, where we struggle to believe that we are loved unconditionally by a Father who is passionate about us. Lord, would you just expose the lie? And bring your truth. Lord, would you reinforce in us this morning our sonship? That we are sons and we are daughters of the King of Kings. And as we journey towards maturity, Lord, that our response would be a godly response. That we would love people like you love them. We would love ourselves as you love us. We would love the people around us, even those who mess up our world. But Lord, you would help us to see them as you see them. People who are lost and desperate. People who need to come back to their Father. So Holy Spirit, would you just come and work in us, deep in the very core of our being, where we need you to do that, Lord.